Joining us on Front and Center is Chris Louise. He is Executive Vice President of AdNet Technologies. And Chris, welcome to Front and Center.
Thank you very much for having us.
Just as an overview, first of all, how about explaining to our audience, what is AdNet Technologies?
Well, AdNet is an IT consulting firm. We've been around for quite some time, and typically our job is to apply technology to a given business problem or the solution that they may need.
Okay, so a business comes to you, mm-hmm. and they've got an IT problem.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next step?
They may not even have an IT problem. They may just have a business problem that IT can help solve, right? So typically businesses come to us for a variety of reasons. It could be security issues. It can be, you know, what is this thing called the cloud? It could be, I need more information about my clients, about business. So it could be for a variety of things, or it could be simply technology as well. I mean, they come to us for a variety of reasons.
Many people don't even know what the cloud is. What is the cloud?
Oh, boy. You know, I can't answer that in a sentence. The cloud is something that is fundamentally transforming how businesses operate with technology, right? So it used to be technology. You'd have to go out and buy a room full of equipment, and you'd have to have a room full of people to operate that equipment. And let's go into 60s, 70s, 80s. It's changed today. What we basically have with the cloud is a model that is flexible, it's scalable, it's elastic, and you can rent it, right? So on a monthly basis, you can scale up or scale down. I'll give you a perfect example. We have a client that is very seasonal. So toward the summer months, they do a lot of their processing. They need to ship product out. So we can scale them up on a per month basis so that they can handle all of their orders and scale them back. So if they made that investment years ago in equipment, it would have cost them a lot of money. So the cloud enables them to scale up and scale back as their needs change. So it's something that we weren't able to do a decade ago.
Well, is the cloud where a lot of these businesses store their records, their files?
Mm-hmm, sure is. And it's safe, it's secure. I mean, you share a file move a file up into the cloud, and it's written to multiple locations around the United States. So even if a cloud provider were to fail, there's inherent backup within these models. So it's a very, very secure way to save your data.
What assurance does the client have or the potential client have of that security that somehow it's not going to be breached?
Yeah, it's a great question. They have as much security as they would having it in-house. The data security is a big, big issue, and it buttresses the cloud conversation very closely. What assurances do they have? They need to do their homework, and that's where firms like us help them weed through what is the risk.
Okay, so you don't have to name the business if you don't want to, but let's say an insurance business or what kind of businesses go to AdNet Technologies, and give us an example on how you structure their framework.
Well, all kinds of businesses utilize our services. Typically, in the smallest is 10 or 15 people in a building, a small law firm or a CPA firm. To about 800 or 900 people is really that sweet spot that we operate in. We do some services for very large insurance companies, but what we do is we sit down and we listen to what their problems are, what their issues are in their business. And that is fundamentally who we've been for the last 25 years. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary.
Congratulations.
This year. Thank you. But it's not about the computers, right? The computers, you can go into a Best Buy, take a computer off the shelf, put it on your desk, and the question is, well, now what do you do with it? Why did you buy it? Because it was light, or is it because it's the fastest? The information that comes out of that computer is what's the most important thing. So we need to understand a lot about your business. You know, what do you do for a living? How are you living and dying? How are you making money? And from that conversation, we get to understand, you know, is it about your patients, your patient records? How are you servicing clients better? How are you doing tax returns in a more efficient manner? So it's a wide variety of industries, from state and municipal government all the way down to the small businesses.
So you can help in the area of efficiency. You can help in the area of security. You can help the in the area of storage. There's a lot of areas where you can assist, in other words.
You're doing a great job explaining my business. Absolutely. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Now, you've been around, like you said, for 25 years. Were you with the business at the start?
Yeah, myself and my partner founded the business in 1991. It feels like just yesterday, but in fact, it was a long time ago.
What motivated you to start the business?
Wow. There's a long story behind that. The short
We've got
story,
time.
The short story is, I met a guy who became my friend. He and his wife were people that I truly enjoyed being with. And what we noticed is that very quickly is that he had a skill set and I had a skill set that, you know, putting them together made for a very unique value proposition for our clients. Mine was very much in the technology space and in the marketing space. Ed LaPrade, my partner, very much, he was an accountant. He had an electrical engineering degree. He was very much understanding the business models, but also very much loved the technology space as well. So you put the two of us together. You know, back in the day, we were quite a bit younger. We probably felt that we could take on the world, but you know, we truly recognized that the two of us coming together had something real value to offer our clients.
Talking with Chris Louise on Front and Center, I'm Dan Lavallo. Chris is Executive Vice President of AdNet Technologies. You're based in Farmington, right?
We are. We also have an office in Albany, New York.
I'm going back now to 1991 when you started the business. I mean, what was it like back then? We had I can't even remember that far back with the big computer monitors and all of that, right?
Well, first of all, let's recognize we were in the middle of a war. We were going
That's
into
right.
a recession, and here we are, two guys saying, "Hey, let's start a business." Fundamentally, we had a lot of things working against us. But one of the things that was driving technology back then was this thing called a LAN, a local area network, where people were taking computers and tying them together and sharing information. That was technology that really was driving a lot of innovation in the collaboration space. How can teams of people work on documents together? How can they get things done? Rather than go from a computer and share information via floppy disk or you know, that was the means at the time, was to share information that way. And this fundamental shift away from the monolithic mainframe and mini computer models where it was very hard to glean information. You needed a technology department organization to run these computers. That power shifted significantly into the hands of an individual. And they can make a difference with that data. They can do something, can analyze, and they can make decisions based on that data. So this whole concept of a local area network just changed how we looked at the protection of data from the big glass IT houses that were out there, put that power back in the hands of the users.
From a technology standpoint, was there a specific turning point that allowed us to be more portable, allowed us to access this information really at our fingertips with our smartphones? Was there a specific turning point?
There's several.
Okay.
And the one thing about technology is when you blink, you're obsolete. I mean, the technology changes so rapidly. But there was a couple of really fundamental shifts. I mean, the first one, I think, was a shift from, as I just described, the power of the data coming into the user's hands. The PC changed how we looked at data. When you then leap to 1995, this guy named Tim Berners-Lee, who invented the World Wide Web, that put the power of information in everybody's hands and the ability to share information with people across the globe in an instant. That was the next real big fundamental shift. Now, I'm leaving out a lot of little shifts that happened in the middle. But when this thing called the Internet, which is a broader term from just the World Wide Web, allowed us to share information now among devices. So now we have the shift from PCs to mobile computing. And mobile computing is, you know, from an iPad, an Android device to an iPhone. That information is in your pocket and available. And it's of huge power, right? So look at the power that an iPhone has is exponentially higher than what it took in computing power to put somebody on the moon, right? So this is now fundamentally changing how we're looking at and consuming information on a daily basis. It's in the palm of our hand. So there is now and lies the question of cloud computing supports that, right? So cloud computing allows us to share data among all these devices. Security becomes a big issue, right? You can leave your office building with all of your information in your pocket. What happens when you leave it in the back seat of a taxi? What do you do? What are the precautions and what are the risks associated with that? So we as a firm look at our clients' issues. Are they dealing with information that's of a highly secure nature? Well, if that's the case, we need to take precautions around that and start looking at the security issues in a risk framework. What is the highest risk? And let's work backwards.
What do you do to stay up to date on all this technology, particularly since you were there almost at the start, let's say, in 1991, and you've experienced all this transformation?
We consume a lot of information. Luckily, we've got a good team that is we share information and collaborate internally a lot. We always look for better and faster ways to and more solid ways to solve these issues. So it's not just Ed and myself looking at this information anymore. We've got a team of more than 50 people that do this for a living. They have a strong background in business. They have a strong background in technology, and they're passionate about both of those things. And those are the types of people we like to hire.
I want to go back again to 91 because here, like you mentioned, you start a business, we're in a war, we're in a recession. Whatever motivated you to, and what were the challenges to launch this kind of a business during that landscape?
Well, Ed will tell you he liked being his own boss. And I think there is some truth to that. But I think that taking the background that he and I had and recognizing a vision that we can do this, we can bring big firm thinking, big firm consulting thinking to a group of clients that can't afford big group bills, right? So you go to a large consulting organization with a business problem as a small and mid-sized business, they're going to hand you a bill that is just, it's not sustainable. We can bring that level of thinking and that level of background with the people we have and provide that professional level of service to make it accessible and not have to spend that type of money. So that was our vision of bridging the business and technology space better than anybody else could. So we knew we had that secret sauce.
I want to go back to some specifics for just a moment. What are some of the concerns, or a law firm comes to you, what are some of their concerns? What are they looking for out of you?
A law firm would be a great example. Number one, they're looking at how are they securing their information. Their client information is their business that is moving data. They may have a healthcare client, and if they have a healthcare client, they are now subject to all the healthcare HIPAA rules that they may have. So we work with them to help them understand what does that mean and how does that impact their business. They're also mobile. Attorneys today need to access information in a courtroom on a moment's notice. They need to be able to look court cases up. We help them get through that and help them get through that in a manner that is supporting their business, not dragging them into this is the way you have to do it, but is how do you need to do it, and then apply the right technology that's going to support them. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but you have to find out what they're doing that is different. And we work with a lot of law firms here in the state and in Massachusetts.
Do you ever see stories in the news where you might read about a computer breach, or you might read about a firm or even a government having problem with software leading to a lot of difficulty, and sit back and say, if we were there, we could have solved that problem?
Yeah, sometimes we are there. Sometimes most of the times we get called in after the fact. And that is the saddest thing in this industry, is people don't necessarily take security as seriously as they should until something's happened. There was a statistic I read, and I wish I could remember it, is that 80% of the organizations engage in some type of security mechanisms after a breach has already occurred. So we do a lot of security work in this area, and many times you may read about something and we're already in there trying to understand forensically what has happened and what can they do. It's a horrible way to gain new customers, but those are the clients of the future, sadly.
So essentially what you're saying then is that clients or potential clients should be proactive rather than reactive.
They absolutely must. And when it comes to security, you need to have a solid plan of what are you doing at a very fundamental, minimal basis to secure your business. If you're not doing at least the basics, the absolute bottom ground basics, you're not running your business professionally. It's that significant. I'll put my foot in the ground on that.
And that's where AdNet Technologies comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's either from the basics or maybe, in a firm that's in the medical industry, there are already a set of guidelines, compliance guidelines that are in place. And how is that organization going to conform to HIPAA regulations or high-tech act regulations? What are the things that they need to do differently today that are going to let them be compliant immediately, because these regulations aren't brand new. Some of our clients prospective clients may not be fully aware of what these things mean. So our job is to understand those compliance needs, those compliance regulations, and make sure that they're complying to those things with their technology. So you go to a doctor's office and there's all kinds of new forms you have to fill out and new things, new ways that a doctor is collecting that information. Well, there is something that's happening on the back end that is there to secure their personal medical records. And that step all the way through is something that we're looking at. Again, a fundamental business challenge, which is the compliance side. How are we helping them on the technology side deal with that?
There was a recent survey that the majority of Americans are reluctant to conduct banking online for fear that their records could be breached. But that said, what can we do at home to feel more secure when we're online?
It's a great question. I mean, people ask me all the time, do you do your banking online? But absolutely. It's convenient. But I do follow some basic best practices. The number one best practice is probably I would tell a client is use a very difficult password. And when you do use your very difficult password, and by complex password, difficult password, I mean it has to have capital letter and it has to have a number in it. It can't be in the dictionary. I mean, those are just fundamental. And don't make it three characters. You need to have a good length to that password. It starts with a password. There are here's a great statistic I just read. That there is a database in the dark network that's out there. There's a database held by a Russian group that has 1 billion words and combinations of words in it. So if you think that that your password is not out there, they've gained these passwords by breaching certain databases, and they've put together a collection that is surmountable. So you need to be very, very unique in how you approach it. And then antivirus software and anti-malware software, and looking at your environment in terms of what is a risk at home that you're willing to take. Online banking organizations actually have fraud and cybersecurity at the forefront of what they do. There's some other organizations that I'm reluctant to give my personal information, because personal information, there's a price tag on that, right? Your name and address put together, I can start to do something with that. If God forbid I get your social security number, I'm now opening up loans in your name, and I'm getting money from that. So there's a combination of personal information that you just don't want to give. And there's organizations that I trust, Amazon's of the world. They understand data security and data privacy. But there's always that little piece at the end on the website is, what are you going to do with my data? And that's very important to read and make sure you're okay with that risk.
Right. Because we saw what happened just a few years ago with Target.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's such a sad one, because they didn't do their job in trusting who their their air conditioning vendor was. I don't know if you know that story, but they have freezer cases that are in Target today for your groceries. And the company that monitors that does it from Pittsburgh, actually. So your local Target is their freezers know that they're at 27 degrees or whatever the temperature is, and if they're out of that temperature band, it goes back and it calls the home office. They can send a repair technician out. Well, they have usernames and passwords to Target's system. So somebody broke into that air conditioning supplier's computers and came right into Target's back door. Target didn't do their job and do their homework in taking the security of information. I got a new set of credit cards out of the deal. Okay? I mean, my wife got hit by the Target scandal, got hit by the Lowe's Lowe's one as well. And we're not done with this. This is going to be an issue we're going to see over and over and over again until businesses start taking IT security as seriously as it needs to be.
Should we be changing our passwords on a regular basis?
Absolutely. And by a regular basis, at least every 30 or 60 days, you need to be changing your passwords, and not one that you can recall from another place that you've used the same password. You just can't do that. And there is actually software out there that'll maintain unique passwords for or generate very complex passwords for you. And you know, there's a handful out that I can even recommend. But you know, you can't be writing down your passwords. Walked in how many clients' offices and see their password posted right. on their monitor. It's palm into forehead. It's just really bad.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the software applications?
There's one piece of software called 1Password that runs on your tablet or your phone. The one I use happens to be called Dashlane. Dashlane will automatically log you into most of the major sites and will auto-generate complex passwords for you. We'll even stack rank them in terms of, do we feel that this is a secure enough password that you've already used? And we'll let you know on all the sites where you've got reused passwords. So it gives you a little guidance on how to deal with just the password piece of IT security. Use things like that. I looked back at my Dashlane statistics and told me I was on 296 different websites that I have given a username and a password to. And I suspect that I may not be the norm, but I have to log into a lot of different systems. If you log into 30 or 40 different websites and you use the same username and password, you're in trouble. And a lot of people, the username happens to be their email address.
Right.
Once I get that, now all they need to do is get your password.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Is it expensive, the software?
I think it's free.
Oh.
Yeah, it's free. If you use it on multiple devices, so let's say you have it on your phone and you have it on your computer, I think you have to pay an annual fee for it to share the information between the two. But, you know, that's the change in the economic model that we're seeing is a lot of this software, I mean, if you pay a dollar for it and you don't like it, your investment of a dollar may be well served or may not be, but it's only a dollar.
And it generates the password for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's generate a very complex password for you as well. There's even, if you have an Apple Macintosh, you can set it up so it suggests auto-generated, very complex passwords for you and will remember them on that Mac. Mm-hmm. There's applications in the Windows environments to do the same thing. But I use this one called Dashlane. No endorsement for Dashlane. Right. I'm not sponsored by Dashlane, but just so happens to be a really wonderful application.
How does it know it's you? How does the computer know it's you?
Yeah, you have a set of credentials that you have to log into this. Yeah, there's another place you don't want a non-complex password. It's the keys to literally the kingdom. But yeah, you need to log into that and give it authorization.
Okay. Wow, this is so educational. What's the future look like when we see our technology? I mean, for example, are desktop computers outdated? Are laptop computers outdated?
Yeah, the computers are slowing down. I mean, this whole concept of Moore's Law, where we have an exponential growth in processing power every 18 months, that's being disproven now. We're coming to a point where the power consumption and the power computing power output, it's taking too much heat to support the power of these new chipsets. So we're seeing a flattening of computing power happening. So there's only going to be so much faster and better. It's still going to increase, but not at the rate that we're used to. So that's going to fundamentally change. I think the real issue is, what is useful information for us now? Consumers are being a little bit pickier in how do I consume information and what do I do with that information? So regardless if you're running a PC or a Mac or you're doing all this consumption on a phone, how your experience is and what useful information you're getting from that is what is changing today. That's it. Ubiquitously, right? If I'm doing this information on my Mac and I leave my office, it should be there on my phone. I don't want to have to rethink whatever I did. That's changing very rapidly, and there's some really unique advancements that are going to happen very, very soon on that.
Wow, this is just exciting stuff. Chris, anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, I can't think of anything. there's just so many things that are happening in this space. It's an exciting time to be there, but coming full circle, don't treat technology as the most unique toy. Right? It's there has to be a reason why you go into this, why you're going to invest money in this space. Understand as a business what your needs are, and then try to find the most appropriate solution for it. That's just what AdNet does, and this is what firms like mine can help you with. But be very careful how you invest your money and make sure you get the longest term use out of that, even if it means don't invest. And you need a firm that's going to help you with that.
Am I right? Your website is thinkadnet.com?
Thinkadnet.com.
All right. Christopher Louise, Executive Vice President of AdNet Technologies, has been our guest. Chris, thank you very much for joining us on Front and Center.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.